If the objectives of the government and the missionaries had been realized, we Lakota would be totally converted to Christianity, speaking only English and regularly denouncing our former heathen way of life, and more than likely singing the praises of Euro-Americans for rescuing us from ourselves. The fact that we still exist culturally has its basis in the quiet fortitude of many of our grandparents and great-grandparents. Instead of overtly resisting, they quietly, but stubbornly, hung on to their ways. When their children came home from the boarding schools wearing short hair and speaking English, they hid their heartbreak. When the government outlawed the sun dance, the faithful simply danced where no one could see them. When the priests and ministers harangued them for their misbegotten ways, they smiled and nodded, went to church on Sunday, and then convened at a sweat lodge on Wednesday. They learned to speak English and told the old stories in their second language because they knew their pride was not as important as keeping the stories alive. In short, they used the last weapon available to them in order to save the essence of being Lakota, fortitude. Two generations of Lakota walked grandmother's road. The ultimate result will be that the traumatic changes in lifestyle and all the losses suffered in the past 150 years will one day amount to nothing more than a bump in the road. Fortitude is quiet strength, closely related, obviously, to bravery and perseverance. Along with bravery, generosity, and wisdom, it is considered one of the four greatest virtues. Grandma Nancy Whitehorse's accurate name, Grandmother's Road, reminds me of the particularly hard winter of 1951 and 52. My maternal grandparents and I were living in a log house 3 miles from the nearest highway and 7 miles from the nearest town. There were at least two heavy blizzards that lasted for 2 or 3 days. One of those storms was particularly strong. The mournful howl of the wind only added to the tension I felt, and I'm sure my apprehension was obvious to both of my grandparents. If either of them was worried, it certainly wasn't detectable in their behavior. They went about their daily routines without a single comment about the cold, the wind, or the snow piling up outside. I vividly recall my Grandma Annie beating a leather bag. In fact, she had me string beads for her while she told me childhood stories of my mother and uncle. Her calm voice and demeanor were reassuring, and the storm became inconsequential. A few years later, I recall walking along a river bottom with my grandfather when a sudden wind sprang up. He pointed to a grove of sandbar willow along the river, and we watched how they bent with the wind. Not far from us, we heard a loud crack as an oak tree lost a branch. Sandbar willows are slender and about 5 to 6 feet tall. They grow in thick stands along creeks and rivers. We watched as they bent with the wind and lost leaves to its sharp gusts, but none of them broke. The oak, with its obvious strength, didn't withstand the wind as well. Fortitude is like the sandbar willow. To have that kind of strength, we must learn to bend with the wind. I was living with my grandmother Blanche Marshall in 1979, and was with her the night she received the news that her oldest son had died accidentally. I lessened as her son-in-law, my uncle by marriage, gently and respectfully, broke the news to her. Grandma Blanche sat with her hands folded in her lap, listening just as respectfully, occasionally wiping away a tear. In the days following, she was the picture of quiet, dignified strength. On the day of the funeral, she was the last to stop at the open casket. Only then, as she embraced her son, did she weep and give voice to her grief. Somehow she managed to do even that with a dignity that seems particularly inherent in Native American women, especially the grandmothers. Fortitude is what gets you through the moment your teenage daughter announces she's found a special on belly button piercings and then turns into Attila the Hun when you say no. Fortitude helps you endure the shock and disappointment of not getting the raise and promotion you were counting on. Fortitude helps you live from 1 minute to the next when you learn that your precious child is missing in action in some distant land or port of call. Fortitude comes to your rescue when you're suddenly faced with the unexpected. It is, I believe, quiet persistence, the ability to take one step at a time and make the best possible use of your attributes, which may include a quick wit, quiet confidence, a deep faith, or simple endurance, among others. Long ago, there was a race among all the animals on the plains. Each of the large animals had boasted that he was the best. The bison touted his great strength. The antelope bragged of his great speed, as did the hawk and the falcon. Not to be outdone, the deer said he was the swiftest. The wolf, the fox, and the coyote insisted they shouldn't be overlooked. Of course, with each one convinced that he was the best, there was no way to know the truth of it. So the animals held a great council, and it was decided that a race was the only way to settle a question once and for all time. Each tribe of animals was to select its very best for the race, which would consist of 4 laps around the Bahasapa, the Black Hills. Every tribe sent its very best, and the prairie around the Black Hills was crowded as the animals gathered. Every tribe on the plains was represented, from the buffalo to the mouse. One of every kind of four-legged, of every kind of winged, and of every kind of crawler. It was quite an impressive sight. The racers gathered at dawn, and as the sun rose over the eastern horizon, they were off. As one would expect, the antelope left everyone behind, followed closely by the falcon and the hawk. Up near the front were the bison, the deer, the bear, and the great cat. A noise like thunder rose up over the mountains as the race wore on, and a great dust cloud followed the racers. On and on they went, a great mass of bodies running and flying and crawling as fast as it could. By the time the first circle of the Black Hills had been completed, those who had started out so swiftly had fallen behind. Now leading was the wolf, followed by the great cat, the fox, the hare, the swallow, and the owl, and everyone else was not far behind. Somewhere during the second circuit, many animals began to stumble, and everyone was sweating badly. As the third lap around the mountains began, the wolf was still in the lead, and the bison, the antelope, and the deer were far, far back, but still determined to win. In fact, no one yet thought he could lose. A strange thing happened then. Some of them began to sweat blood, but still they kept running and flying and crawling. The final circle of the Black Hills began with the wolf still in the lead, but now behind him was a flock of birds, among them the swallow, the owl, the meadowlark, and the magpie.